The biggest moments in the games.
SGA on the handle. Out front. Down the lane. Spurts. Kicks. Left wing dump. Wants three. It's online. Give it to him, baby. Thunder by 21. Timeout Pacers. It's happening. It's happening.
The biggest voices in sports.
Anything can happen at Fanatics Fest. Like me getting traded.
The heartbreak.
19 and a half seconds left. The Thunder will get it to the forecourt. Dribble out the rest of the clock and then start celebrating their first NBA championship since moving from Seattle to Oklahoma City several years ago.
The celebrations.
It's over at Paycom Center. Final in Game 7, the Thunder 103, the Pacers 91. A dream realized. The storybook season is complete. The final chapter reads, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the 2025 NBA champions.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
It is the Bulletin Blitz. Welcome on in to the audio of the day segment on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. It is Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. And we will start with the introduction of the New York Knicks' new head coach, Mike Brown. Now, he's had a lot to say in his media introductory press conference, but one of the things that obviously is going to be a paramount for him is basically getting this team back to where it was when they were six games away from a championship, falling just short to the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Here is Mike Brown on meeting the lofty expectations in New York.
Nobody has any bigger expectations, first of all, than I do. My expectations are high. This is the Knicks. I talked about Madison Square Garden being iconic. I talked about our fans. I love and embrace the expectations that come along with it. So I'm looking forward to it.
I think Mike Brown is a good coach. I think that Mike Brown is a good hire. I think Mike Brown might do a pretty good job with the Knicks. I still don't think they needed to fire Tom Thibodeau, though. So, is Mike Brown going to get the benefit of a fresh start? Is it, all right, Mike, here's the team. Let's see what you can do with it. Or is it going to be a constant comparison to, well, they got a Sun Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, Tibbs got a Sun Eastern Conference Finals. You got to at least get there. And then how much patience will an already impatient owner have with Mike Brown? If Mike Brown does do well and succeed, none of that whole thing matters. None of it matters. We're all good. But there's a lot of hoops he's going to have to jump through to get to that point. We'll see if he can do it.
All right, let's switch gear over to the NFL. Some call it the No Fun League, but you know, Netflix, I guess, is trying to bring some of that fun back. Was it a new season of Quarterback? Bart, do you know who's in the Quarterback series this time around? I think this is the second iteration of it.
Yeah, Cousins is in it. Burrow is in it. I saw some clips of him. Who else is in this one?
Usually it's like the superstar, the other household name, and then the guy who really should not be in the series. Because I think last time it was... Or was that receiver? I know Justin Jefferson was in it, George Kittle, and then like some guy that had no business being on. Wasn't Marcus Mariota on the first Quarterback?
I think he was, yeah. I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it either, but I do have some sound from here because one of the things that's pretty interesting.
I am going to watch the NBA version of this.
Which is?
They followed Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. They followed Tyrese Halliburton. They followed Kevin Durant. They follow James Harden, and they follow Jason Tatum.
See, now that's how you do a little documentary. Like, these are all names that
and
I know.
Two guys blew out their Achilles.
Yeah.
One guy won the championship. Mm-hmm. One guy tried to get traded, finally did, and then one guy was James Harden. But that is going to be – I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot when I have to try to think of who the hell the third quarterback is, and the fact that I can remember Marcus Mariota was one of them last time they did this. No business needed for him to be on that show whatsoever. But Kirk Cousins was one of the quarterbacks. Well done. You got that right. Here's Kirk Cousins' audio because we're getting some little insight into his joining Atlanta and the fact that they drafted Michael Penix Jr.
Oh, Jared Goff.
Oh, and yeah, we know him. All right. Well, Kirk Cousins, one of the things that came out, said he felt misled by the Atlanta Falcons upon signing with them.
Wasn't expecting us to take a quarterback so high. At the time, it felt like I had been a little bit misled, or certainly if I had the information around free agency, it certainly would have affected my decision. I had no reason to leave Minnesota with how much we loved it there if both teams were going to be drafting a quarterback high. But I've also learned in 12 years in this league that you're not entitled to anything. It's all about being able to earn your spot and prove yourself.
Well, I don't know that they would have signed him to the same contract that Atlanta did either. I also recall he played hurt throughout the season.
Or we didn't find out about that until the season was over. He had hurt his
shoulder
against
the
Saints. Yes.
He knew he was hurt.
He got hurt against the Saints.
And he didn't, you know, you tell somebody and then you don't play anymore. Now he's the most expensive backup in the league. I can see, you know, you go to a new situation. He's still making a lot of guaranteed money. It could be worse. Also, this is Kirk Cousins we're talking about. Guys won one playoff game. Okay, it's hard for me to think that Kirk Cousins was wrong. So they didn't know he would draft a rookie quarterback, but you also played poorly enough that they moved on to the rookie quarterback. So it was still within your power.
All right, let's switch gears. So we're going to stay with football. We're going to go to college, though, because the college football playoff formats for 2026 and beyond is still kind of unknown right now. And one of the things that Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark is trying to push is the 5+11 playoff format. Now, obviously, it would kind of benefit the Big 12 more than anybody else, but the Big 12 and the ACC have pushed a model which would award automatic bids to the five highest-rated conference championships, and then 11 at-large bids would be determined by the college playoff football playoff selection committee. Here's Brett Yormark. We got some audio from him speaking about said format.
We continue to believe the 5-11 model proposed by the Big 12 and the ACC is the right playoff format for college football. We want to earn it on the field. We do not need a professional model because we are not the NFL.
It is the right model, especially when compared to the model that the SEC and the Big Ten, more so the SEC, the model they want. They want four automatic qualifiers in each conference. They want the top four in each conference to automatically qualify. Which, what's going to happen is they're probably going to get four every time anyway. So I don't know why they're trying to guarantee it other than just make it easier on themselves and have those assurances. It would freeze out potentially, if the Big 12 did have a really good year, it would start to freeze out some of those teams. It doesn't, you give, the only automatic qualifiers should be the teams that win the conference. Everybody else, I think it should be at large. It would be great if it's so full. You can't, it's not the same. You can't take 133 team system and try to make it the NFL, which everyone plays each other, and in college you have less games and more teams and you don't even play every team in your conference. You can't do it the way that the SEC wants to do it. I'm with your mark here. I stand with the Big 12.
All right, let's get one last one in here, kind of college football, but not really, because he's not working in college football anymore, and that's Urban Meyer. He spoke on the triple option, whatever the hell that is. And he shared
whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, I don't know what the triple option is. What is it? A podcast? Is it a TV show? What is it?
Oh, he spoke on the triple option.
Yes, not speaking about the triple option. I know what the triple option is.
Oh, okay.
I'm just giving the courtesy to this audio, which is the triple option. So it's probably somebody's podcast, but who cares?
Rob Stone, Mark Ingram, and Urban Meyer.
Totally don't care. He was on that, and he said, I turned down a general manager job.
I don't know if I even told Rob and Mark this, but I had a school come see me this year and asked if I wanted to be the GM and a couple other phone calls. And you start to think, okay, they actually came to see me. And so I said, yeah, we'll meet and I'll sit down with you guys. And I said, okay, what is the job description? They said, well, basically you handle all the, you know, you meet with all the agents of the 17, 18-year-olds. And I thought, I'd rather step on a rusty nail and pull it out my, I mean, what in the, but that's, if that's what you got to do, Jim, God bless you, brother.
Yeah, and a lot of those agents are like 26, 27-year-old hotshots, too, that hoodwink these kids younger than them and then try to exploit them. So he probably made the right decision. It's weird, these GMs, some seem like they're just a distinguished position that's sort of nothing, and some seem, I don't know, that a lot of weird area that college football has to get through.